Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 491. This is Kevin DeFrango. Sitting across the table from me is one Jeremy Mays. What is going on, good sir?
This is one big-ass table, my friend. It's a good thing we have cameras. We can see each other.
It is not quite as cozy as when Mr. Phillips and I do a podcast, because it is not a literal table. It is a virtual one.
Yes, and how many miles is it? 600? No.
No, I don't think so. Because it was a 6-hour drive, I think.
6-7? All right, yeah, so 3 hours.
Yeah, like I think it's like 6.5, because it was... Well, no, your old place was 8. It's 7 hours to Charlotte.
Okay, yeah, you can just go down 77 if you want, instead of going through Tennessee and all the other mountainous places. So
yeah, it saves us a little bit of time, but not a lot of time because it's further east.
I always remember the first time you came down and it took you 16 hours to get home.
16 or more.
This is before cell phones.
Yeah, it was before cell phones. I was supposed to call at some juncture upon arrival back here in the fine city of Columbus. And, the ex and I we missed that turn. Is it 470 that heads west so that you can pick up 75?
No, it's 40.
40.
Well, I think we figured out the problem.
And the last time I had to travel that was what, your more recent wedding?
Because you actually came to Greenville, that's right.
Yeah, which was still how many years ago?
It's almost 5 years now, right? Yes, it's 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, it's not exactly like I drive that frequently. Don't really remember the directions, but Emily and I missed that exit to 40 to, head west, and, we ended up going up the East Coast, we almost stopped off to see my older brother Ron in Richmond. Like, that's how far off course we were.
That's ridiculous. That is so ridiculous. From Greenville, South Carolina to go there.
And then work
over. You don't even cross Virginia if you go up 75.
Right.
Or West Virginia for that matter.
And I mean, technically, what's that other route that I take now? Is it 77, I think?
Yeah, 77. Yeah, 77.
I mean, you're in Virginia, but come on, man. You're not really in Virginia.
No, it's, like you're in the middle. You're in Virginia because as soon as you get there, the speed limit changes on a whim, and there's cops everywhere. So yeah, you're definitely in Virginia. That's for sure. Jesus, and I've never seen anything like it where the speed limit signs are electronic, and it actually clearly states it will change as traffic dictates. Like.
Oh, yeah. I do not think I remember those the last time driving through there.
When we were up in Pennsylvania last year for my buddy Brent's wedding, we were coming back, and I noticed, I'm like, wait, where are the speed limit signs? Because, you know, they're usually your traditional white with the black letters, right?
Yeah.
No, they were boxes. And as you, I don't know how many miles, but you would see a sign, and it would say traffic speed regulated due per traffic conditions. And I'm going, that's a load of horseshit.
Oh.
But, I mean, nothing bad happened to me, but...
Yeah, you know, that is a load of horseshit.
For tickets. So, yeah. But, whatever.
But anyway, yeah, it was a 16 to 18 hour drive that it really should have only been 8. Like, because we took more than double the time. It was like 18.
Yes. Yes, and I remember having to call the condo, no, townhouse, whatever it was, and I was like, hey, Ken, you heard from him at all? No, man. I was waiting to hear from him. I was like, okay. the world before cell phones is so foreign now.
Well, you know? And the fact that we have lived the majority of our lives in the no cell phone era, and the fact that it's foreign is pretty bizarre.
Yeah.
Because
it's just,
yeah,
it's just crazy because we were talking about something this weekend about it, and oh well, actually, well, all right, I guess we'll get to wrestling now, I guess. But yeah, we were talking about, because I went to the Ring of Honor, the Honor Reigns Supreme, I think that's what it was called, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Okay. I was at a Ring of Honor house show that they decided to put on the Honor Club thing, and that's really what this show was like. There was two title defenses. Not at any point did I really believe Dalton Castle was going to win against Jay Lethal.
Oh.
And, all right, and of course, when he didn't, it's like, all right. There were some near falls, which were pretty cool.
Right.
Was it Jenny Rose and Kelly Klein in a street fight?
Oh.
Why a street fight? I don't know.
Well, they're kind of a little bit into grudge match territory. At least the way they've been telling the story over the last couple of months.
See, and I get that, okay? And, you know, and this was one of my problems with the show. Now, I know I've been kind of negative about it. I had a fun time.
Uh-huh.
The problem is everyone does the same style. And
oh,
get to that in a second. But, like, for the Jenny Rose Kelly Klein thing, and this was indicative of everything during the show, and not being an Honor Club member, I don't know if they do this sort of thing, but there are no video packages to get you up to speed.
Oh.
Because believe it or not, people will buy tickets to wrestling and just go. I mean, some of the guys at the gym who never went to wrestling before, they had free tickets, so they went, and they loved it. And it was an NXT show. The one guy, Darren, he was, every time we go to wrestling, he wants to go with us. And then we tell him how much we're spending, and he goes, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sitting front row for the Evolve show in February. I didn't even mean to. We just got those seats. New Japan, we're up a little bit, but whatever.
Oh,
but
yeah.
So it didn't give you a backstory to anything. And, like, I knew the Dalton Castle, Jay Lethal thing. I knew what was going on with Villain Enterprises and the Briscoes and Silas Young. But the rest of it was just matches to me. And maybe some backstory would have helped. I don't know. It was fun wrestling. It was a good wrestling in some of the cases. But from the get-go, man, and I know this is like Randy Orton old man stuff, he's right. All the matches we saw, there was very little storytelling. It was all people just diving over the ropes, doing flips, doing this. And it got to the point where Bandido, who, I'll be honest, I hadn't heard of, but I knew that, you know, they wanted him, WWE wanted him, well, Ring of Honor ended up with him.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool. And he was fighting PJ Black, or Justin Gabriel, whatever you want to go with. He's PJ Black now. PJ Black came out to crickets. Now, whether it's his fault or not, it doesn't really matter. That's what happened. And he kept trying to get everyone going. Well, man, I've seen five, at least, topes per match up until yours. So why am I going to be excited when you're doing it? It's like, one, following wrestling, I mean, apparently not as diligent as I used to. I've seen the stuff you do. You diving over the top rope is nothing. I mean,
you know,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there are some, like, I've kind of gotten to the point with that move where it kind of only pops me when a couple of people do it because their execution is so good. Like, Finn Balor is one of those guys that he really gets a crazy amount of clearance on that, jump out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one draws me in, and I'm trying to think of who the other one is offhand. But Yeah, like, because even in the WWE, it happens kind of too frequently.
Right.
So, you know, it's not every match, though, I guess.
No, but it's for example, for WWE, and I'm not saying guys in WWE don't do it, or whoever else, because they do, but, like, anybody who runs the rope does the, is it even a suicide dive anymore, when all you do is you jump through the top and middle rope, and basically hand push, like, give somebody a really hard push, you know? Like, they don't even land on them. They don't do a crossbody. It's just a simple arms are extended Superman push. And you're supposed to go crazy for that. It's like, no. I mean, is it just fickle on my part?
I think that's another one where I definitely notice it. Like, when Samoa Joe comes out, just the fact that it's Samoa Joe doing it.
Right.
It is something. But the other thing is, like, he really kind of lays a forearm into it when he's doing it. Like, he is someone that really kind of gets in there and does something with it. Instead of just, like you said, like, it just kind of a hand push. Because, like, I feel like Rollins, honestly, is one of those guys, like, for as well executed as some of his stuff is, I think that his only looks good because of how fast he can move. So, yeah, like, there are definitely varying degrees, like, to suicide dives now. Yeah. Because, again, like, it's kind of like someone doesn't know how to do a headlock, I guess. Like, I'm trying to equate it to something older, like, you're like, oh, that guy looks like it hurts. And there are other guys just like, yeah, he's kind of holding his head, barely.
Yeah, and, like, we did not get the Flip Gordon match. He actually legit hurt himself, which we couldn't tell if that was real or not. So I thought that was kind of impressive on their part, but apparently he does have a sprained knee. So that sucks, the day after Saban. And that was another thing that was holding back, holding the show back from doing anything memorable was they just did tapings in Atlanta the night before.
Oh.
So they already had everything settled, so you knew damn well nothing important was going to happen on this. And it didn't. And, I mean, I'm not saying, like, you have to have something important every show, but if you're doing this for your, you know, honor club, whatever else, well, that just seems like cheap shit. Like, oh, cool, I'm getting a house show on it? Like,
yeah, well,
and none of the matches had any weight behind them except for the two championship matches, and then to some extent the Briscoes and Silas versus Villain Enterprises.
Uh huh.
Because that's like their feud or whatever. But I don't know, man. It just I went a few months ago, attendance. At least half of that.
Oh.
Which can be blamed on a Sunday, but also no Bucks, no Cody, and no Hangman Page.
Yeah, so they have lost a lot of people. And to go back to, you're talking about the quality, not quality, I'm trying to think the right word, but it's escaping me. But just the fact that you didn't think anything of consequence, that's better, was going to happen. Just because I do watch the TV product, I kind of feel like an idiot because the last two times, because they do the same thing here in Columbus where they usually tape for Honor Club. And they've had, somehow, it's ended up timing out so that they have actually done something of consequence at the Columbus shows because they've shown extra clips, like, just because they don't always air in a timely manner. I mean, it's better than it used to be for sure, but they're still not a weekly, true weekly show.
Mm-hmm.
But they've showed stuff on air from the last two Columbus shows like that.
Okay.
And it's just one of those things. But I mean, also, like, the fact that I've noticed that it's been Columbus both times is kind of weird. That also means that a lot of these other ones aren't getting airtime. Like, they don't have that many even makeup episodes, honestly.
Yeah. And, like the whole thing of Consequence, whatever, I'll go to enjoy stuff.
Yeah.
But, one, their roster's decimated.
Oh, yeah.
And I sat there watching going, how are they expecting to get 10,000 people in Madison Square Garden? I don't think those tickets are on sale yet. And unless they can work something with New Japan or get the Bucks back involved, any of that sort of stuff. But you see the people signing with AEW, so you got to figure, all right, I'm guessing that, you know, maybe they will have something to do with it. Because they seemingly left everybody on good terms. But, I mean, sorry, but Jay Lethal main event in a show at Madison Square Garden, who gives a fuck? I mean, Frazier was like, I can't believe Jay Lethal's champion still. It's like, well, he's part of the booking committee, or he's one of the bookers or whatever, so, you know, give yourself the belt. You don't have to worry about you leaving. So, I mean, so it makes sense, because there's even rumors Dalton Castle possibly leaving still, even though he's still banged up pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one, I kind of feel bad for him just because, yeah, you shouldn't be coming back from your injury that wrapped up.
Nope. And we were also making fun of the entire, you know, well, he's got his ribs taped up, which is the old stupid wrestling thing. Why would you tape up your ribs, you know?
Yeah.
Fucking so damn stupid. But, like, to go back to, like, everyone's style is the same.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Except for, like, a Beer City Bruiser, which, I'm sorry, I'm not going to begrudge a guy for making a living, but I'm going to begrudge ROH for having him on a pay-per-view show. I'm choosing my words careful here. It's just not good. Let's go with that. It's not good, and the crowd who had a weird crowd, like a lot of smart people and people who, like, I'm sorry, a lot of smart fans and a lot of people who just went to go. Because a Sunday night in the South, which I keep forgetting, Charlotte, the Concord for sure, is the South, and it's Sunday. Well, all the goofy Baptists go to church twice on Sunday at 7 o'clock when your show's starting. So, you know, in that regard, I thought it was kind of stupid. Anyways.
Well, and you'd think that they do run regularly down there. You'd think they'd know something like that.
Yeah, I was surprised it was a Sunday, because all the other shows we've gone to have been Friday or Saturday. So, because as I've stated every time, Cabarrus Arena is in the middle of nowhere. Downtown Concord is a few miles away, but even that, you're going through all these roads like, where, what? Like, it was like wrong turns, like the scarecrow going to pop out and put a pitchfork in my tire. I mean, you don't know what's going on out there. So, and I did knock off all of the Concord breweries over the weekend, just in case you were wondering.
Nice.
And mixed results. So,
yeah, that kind of happens. I was laughing reviewing doing the beer reviews, that like all the breweries were basically rated between 3.5 and like 3.85. And I just kind of laughed because that was a pretty narrow margin of ratings, in my opinion.
Yeah. to go off topic real quick, the brewery scene here is still blowing up. And supposedly, within the next 2 years, we're going to have 17 more, which is crazy because not all of them are good. I ran into that. So this guy, we went to this one place, which I will not say. I ordered a hazy IPA because those are my favorite. And he goes, listen, this one didn't age well. So if you try it first, I just want to tell you that so that you don't think, oh my God, all these are going to be terrible. So I'm like, okay, not expecting it to be as bad as it was awful. I've never said that. No matter, even if it's like a style I don't like a stout, especially a barrel-aged stout, not my thing. Just not, this is terrible. But knowing it's good, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now remember, it says it's a hazy IPA.
Right down your alley.
I took a swig and went, this tastes like a Hefeweizen.
Oh.
That's exactly the face I was waiting for. And I went, this is an IPA? And I looked at Elisa, I was like, this is fucking terrible. She was going to tell him? I'm like, not like that. So So he's like, what'd you think? I was like, yeah, it's okay. I was like, I'm glad you warned me about the first one. He goes, yeah. And I was like, why do you still have it up there then? And he's like, owner doesn't want to get rid of it. And I was like, he needs to fucking get rid of it. Like, that's stupid. Why would you want your product up there if you know it's not good? That makes sense.
You know, I've heard that, you know, that basically... some of the craft breweries don't really have the capacity to waste anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know it's a lot of money.
But, yeah, I mean, you're right. Like, you just, if it's not good, it's not good. Like, especially, yeah. Like, I mean, you're going from something that's, while I do compare them to pale ales, you know, there's still a lot of hop involved. So you should taste a lot of hop flavor.
Uh-huh.
And Hefeweizen, yes. You're going to not taste any hop flavor whatsoever.
No. So anyways.
Yeah, that's not good.
So you got everyone doing all this flips, doing all the style. You got Beer City Bruiser. Oh boy. And I just...
Yeah, I like a lot of guys on there. And again, like I kind of watch on a, you know, well, on a weekly basis. But I kind of agree with you. You're talking about everyone kind of being bland, and it's just like, You know, yeah, no one has, like, Vinny Marsalia is one of the few guys that, to me, has a different look. And even with, like, a Beer City Bruiser, it's just like, is it too much to ask for you to at least make tone your arms?
Yeah, just something.
Something like, I'm okay, I get it, you want to look different, and you people should look different. Obviously he can work.
Okay.
No,
I didn't see it. I
think he's had decent matches, at least from what I've seen. Like, I guess I'm never gonna give him a I'm never going to be worried about him having a classic like Rey Mysterio and Andrade Cien Almas, although I guess two of those names are lopped off now, had this evening. Yes. But I mean, he's had kind of passable matches, and he works out well as the bully type, especially because ROH does, they're kind of, you know, a lot of people are just smaller.
So yes. A lot of guys are also only wearing black tights, or black tights with a white stripe, or black tights with a green stripe. I mean, black tights, black boots, long hair, short hair, beards all over the place. And it's like, guys, we need some diversity here. And
yeah.
I know this is going to sound dumb because I don't like the Beer City Bruiser, but Luchasaurus was hilarious.
Oh.
The guy's got to be 6'5".
Yeah.
Ripped to shreds with tattoos all over, looking like a badass, and he actually could do stuff. And
yeah,
it was like, huh? Where did he come from? And Frazier kept going, they need to get the mask off this guy. And I'm like, yeah, well. But
good luck with that.
Yeah. But like, the thing I didn't like, I keep bringing up the flips and stuff, is there's a lack of storytelling. There just is. Until you get to the guys who can tell a story, and that's fine. Now, I didn't know PCO was Pierre Carl Alouette.
Oh.
Until I saw him, and I went, oh my God, that's who that is. The guy's in his 50s. So we got your typical douche fans in front of us. Like, the guy wasn't terrible, but he was ripping on Jeff Cobb, saying, well, the guy can't do anything except hurt other people. I'm like, okay. And then,
I guess, is he known for hurting people?
Not that I know of.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that sometimes I miss out on the news. Yeah. So I didn't think I'd heard anything either.
Well, no. So he's just being one of those guys. And then PCO comes out. Everyone goes crazy. And I'm like, oh, okay. So PCO's gimmick is he was dead as Pierre Carl Alouette and he got reanimated, rebuilt. Now he's PCO, so he's half monster. Okay.
Yep.
And I know he's known for taking ridiculous bumps for his age. Okay. Well, I never got to experience it, you know? And I saw him, like, dive off a top rope. Okay. Dive off the top to the outside. Pretty cool for an old dude. All right. I'll give you that.
Yep. Suicide dive, like we were talking about earlier. I've seen those.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, but those are all pretty safe. You know, you're diving into a group of guys out there that can help break your fall. You know, as long as you don't, you know, come dead weight and hurt them, you know, everything's fine, right?
Yep.
Well, for no goddamn reason in this match, he goes up to the top, and was it Mark Briscoe? I don't have my Twitter up right now.
Oh, yeah, I've stunt right. Granny up and not my personal account up.
So the first big bump of the match, he does the arms, he gets pulled off the top rope, onto the apron, flat back onto the apron, and it falls to the outside. Place goes nuts. They're all cheering. I'm like, this is bullshit. Because it didn't wipe him out. It was like in the first 5 minutes of the match. Now, it's a 54. I gotta look up his age. I gotta stop. You know, PCO age. Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know what it is offhand myself. But it... yeah, just actually ended up seeing both of those bumps. Again, I guess it's funny that all the announcers are like, oh, that's the hardest part of the ring. And at least half the wrestlers on Twitter go, that bump isn't as bad as you think it is.
Oh, really?
I just remember at least when Daniel Bryan got Samoa Joe bombed him upon his return onto the ring apron, everyone's like, oh, that isn't as scary as everyone thinks. And I'm just like, well, if that bump isn't as scary as, then I guess the apron bumps aren't that bad. Like, to me, there's no other way to explain all apron bumps if they're not quite as bad as the announcers are selling.
Announcers are overselling it, which is fine.
Yeah.
But there's no way that's a easier, safer bump than taking it in the middle of the ring where there is some give, you know?
Right. Agreed.
So that happened. He's 51, by the way.
Okay.
So he takes that, and he's gone for a little bit. So, okay, so they wipe PCO out. You know, gonna do one of those things, which makes sense, I understand. So, all of a sudden, everyone's cheering. Oh, I'm sorry, I gotta back up. So he gets tagged into the match, and you're expecting some cool stuff out of him, right? Nah, him and Mark are just trading chops. For 10 minutes, it seemed. It seemed like it probably went on for about 6 minutes. So I guess that first bump was not in the first 5 minutes of the match, but it was still early enough.
Yeah. Well,
he's getting chopped. Mark gets chopped. Mark's chest is red. He goes up. I think he starts chaining with Jay. Then it all breaks down. He takes this giant, dumbass bump for no reason. Because he's back up in a few minutes. Like, I think two. So then what happens? He goes back up. Silas Young gives him a Canadian destroyer on the outside of the ring. Like, on the...
Yeah, it was apron. On the apron again.
Now, I know his head did not hit the apron at all. Didn't even come close. It was actually off the apron. Yeah. I don't care. There's no reason for a 51-year-old man to be doing that, let alone when it doesn't matter. That, all right, and I know, like, things have changed, but don't you think if you did a Canadian Destroyer, one, you always get pinned. Two, if you did that on the apron, which they're trying to sell as the hardest part of the ring ever, shouldn't you be done for the rest of the match? Or just something.
Yeah.
Nah. He got back up a little bit later. And it's like, I get the gimmick is that
he can't
die. Monster has been rebuilt. And, you know, he's indestructible now. Whatever. Whatever is the appropriate reaction to that. What the fuck ever. This is dumb. Especially because he's not even in a feud with these guys. He's just taking these bumps so that everyone jumps up and cheers for him. Like, and in the end of the match, he looked exhausted after that Canadian Destroyer. I'll be completely honest right now.
Oh, yeah.
He went up to do a moonsault. And, like, Marty was, directing traffic in there.
Uh-huh.
So he had to keep telling, hey, come on, it's your shot, you're this. So he went up for a moonsault at the end. He jumped, and I'm like, is he going to turn over? Like, this doesn't look good. He turned over at the last possible second.
Oof.
Now, maybe that's on purpose, and I'm not familiar with the way he does things, but I'm going to back up and say, don't do that. Just do a goddamn moonsault. If you're too tired from taking two stupid-ass bumps earlier, don't do that either. I mean, it's basically, someone said he's like Terry Funk when he was in ECW, where he just stopped trying to tell stories and just start being violent all the time. Oh. And I was like, yeah, well, that was cool back then, and now we know what we know, and we've seen that for since then.
Hey.
So, do something different, and actually make me care about the match because of the story being told. But
yeah, I've seen very little of, because, like, even the videos, I kind of watch some of them, but I don't watch a lot of them. And I know that I haven't caught him on the indie circuit at all, or really even a taping of one.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's kind of hard to say what kind of quality of wrestling he is churning out. But, I mean, he got the one-year deal with Ring of Honor, so I suppose at least for the next 12 months or so, well, probably just under that, We'll find out.
like making it clear, I don't begrudge the guy for making a living, man. You know, but
yeah,
he's smart about it. So if you want, you can continue to do this. He can't keep taking that stuff. There's just absolutely no way he can keep doing that stuff. At 51 years old, dude, I'm 40. I'll be 45 in a month, and I'm doing, like, you know, my powerlifting stuff now. I'm tired. My hip bothers me a little bit. I've got, like, that plantar fasciitis thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's called. And one foot, so it flares up every once in a while. And that's just from doing that. Not taking flips in the ring and doing all this dangerous stuff. And nor do I have the wear and tear on my body that he has from being a wrestler his entire life.
Yeah, you're not doing flat backs left and right. Or
I
on
did
a ring
one
apron.
Flat back when I was a kid. And I went, I don't want to do this. I was mimicking the Berserker. You know how he'd come in the ring, he'd throw himself down, get back up, throw himself down?
Yeah.
I ran outside, threw myself on the ground like that, and I just never forget this, just that feeling of your air just dissipating. And I'm just laying there going, oh, wow. Wow. And I just realized right there, I was like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I think I only took flat backs either on a bed or a waterbed, so I'm not going to compare that to doing it on the ground outside.
Well, I guess a pool, if you dive or you fall into a pool that way.
Oh, yeah.
Which I guess that would just sting like crazy.
Yeah, but that's no fun. I mean, that's kind of like when you do the old belly flop.
So imagine that, but instead you're taking it on concrete, or, you know,
at the age of 51,
on your head at 51 years old. Dumb, man.
Yeah.
It totally took me out of the match. Like, the match quality was good. When they were doing a story of sorts in the ring, it was good. But just then it was like, oh, time for me to do my stupid shit. So, you know, it's the takeaways are they've got some talent there. John Gresham is great. It's too bad he's only 5 foot tall.
Oh.
The Jeff Cobb, John Gresham,
yeah.
Rhett Titus? No.
No, I hope not Rhett Titus.
God damn it.
Because he's one of the long-haired, bearded, white gentlemen that can just blend in with everyone else.
Yeah, but he's got a funny gimmick of being a...
Is he still Big Dog and Little Dog? No.
He was doing like a bodybuilder thing.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I don't think I've seen that, or at least I...
Yeah. But it was supposed to be them and then Sean Taylor, who I don't see anything in other than he can talk. And then Sean Taylor was like, I don't want to do this. And during the match, Silas Young came out. Jeff Cobb got distracted. It was after the match. And then, yeah, I think his name's Sean Taylor. He came out and distracted or attacked Cobb. But Cobb was funny. He just did his big man shtick. John Gresham jumps off the top rope into him. He just bounced off of him. So that was kind of funny. And like I told you, man, I honestly did not realize how short Jeff Cobb was.
Oh.
That Underground, man, they make Matanza seem so gigantic that it just didn't occur to you. So.
He's another one where at least, especially since Punishment Martinez already debuted in NXT, they did not waste any time putting him on TV. Like they did with Dijakovic.
Okay. All right. So we can move away from Ring of Honor. I'm glad you brought him up. I don't get it. I don't see it. I don't know what the big deal is with that guy. Punishment Martinez, but I don't even want to say his last name.
Dijakovic.
Yeah. No. I don't get it, dude.
Well, I think it's really strange to me, like, because he was one of those guys that was in the Top Prospects tournament, and I kind of liked his stuff, but then the WWE signed him, and he's kind of disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a couple of job matches under Donovan Dijak. But he's kind of been off TV then. I'm like, oh, do they... But then they started doing the video packages for him. I'm like, oh, okay, they do have something in mind for this guy. Because, you know, him and Martinez always seem like... they seem like WWE guys. Just, again, like, I guess I still... Despite knowing the fact that WWE... employs plenty of smaller to mid-sized wrestlers these days. Anytime I see a big wrestler, it automatically goes to my mind that they're going to be in the WWE.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes.
And Dijak was certainly like one of those guys. I'm like, oh, and I don't know. Like, I guess he's one of those guys that maybe hasn't had... I don't think he's had that much experience. Now that I'm going to spit it out of my mouth, I'm like, shit, maybe I should check.
Yes.
But, you know, at least international experience, I don't think he's had that much. And I guess it's one of those things that even for the big guys these days in the WWE, the WWE has a lot of people that know how to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, I guess the other thing about Punishment Martinez, like, he definitely had more TV time when he was in Ring of Honor than Dijak had.
Yeah, he was their television champion. Right?
A fairly extended period of time. And, I mean, he got plenty of time before that is... I feel like he was a challenger that Lethal in his first title reign maybe needed to overcome. I can't remember exactly offhand, but you know, he was kind of always positioned at in a really high spot. And yeah, it's just well, and I guess what we were talking about, Dijak, really.
Yeah.
Like I said, I kind of liked him, but he kind of got lost a little bit in the shuffle in ROH, and now he's kind of getting lost in the shuffle a little bit already in NXT. And I guess it'll be interesting because NXT is kind of missing their resident big man now that Lars Sullivan is finding his which is another weird one.
Yes, that's a very weird one.
Well, I like him on the main roster, but
if he gets to the main roster.
Oh, well, it was weird that A, they announced him before the NXT call-ups, and then included him in the six NXT call-ups. But then he was the only one of the six not to have any TV time?
You don't know what's going on with that?
No.
Oh, yeah, there's... Okay, so they were in, what, Denver or whatever? He was supposed to have been on already. Well, he was going to have a dark match, and he started having an anxiety attack. This is all the rumor, all right?
Oh, okay.
And then he was supposed to show up for SmackDown the next day, and he didn't show up. Because he was supposed to he's supposed to start a program with John Cena that ends at WrestleMania. And he apparently went home. Because I guess he's got like some mental anxiety issues. And he hasn't been back since. He was supposed to have some more matches, but never happened. And as of now, the stuff with Cena's off.
Oh, wow.
They haven't even mentioned his name.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like Chris mentioned a comment, and I was just like, huh? Because it was mentioning Lars Sullivan and John Cena. And yeah. I'm just like, huh? And now it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. I mean, I feel bad for the guy, first off. I mean... They have the sort of issues that, if this is true, they have the sort of issues that keeps you out of, you know, pretty good pay. I mean, you're bumped up to the main roster, you get more money. You get a program with John Cena, you're on WrestleMania, that's a lot more money. So,
right.
You know, that sucks. And then, I mean, especially just because of his own mental health. So, you know, if they're not understanding of the situation, we may never see him again. I mean, I think that's honestly, that is a fair assumption to make based on WWE, which I know that they're probably a little more heightened about mental health now.
I would hope so.
But business is business, and I mean, I can see that line being toted out, you know?
Well, I mean, there's definitely nothing that they can do at this point. I mean, the WWE, as we've noted for any number of years at this point, they really write for this time of the year. Like, as soon as the calendar flips, at least from here until WrestleMania, things tend to be pretty tight in the writing department.
Yeah.
And, yeah, if you kind of bow yourself out at the Royal Rumble phase of things, you are definitely not getting a spot back, or at least a big spot back. Before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You might get tossed into the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, but that's it.
Yeah, and who won that last year?
Does it matter? No, it wasn't Baron Corbin.
That was the first one.
Wasn't Big Show.
No, first one was Cesaro, then Big Show, then Corbin. Was it Matt Hardy? Yeah, Matt Hardy won.
Oh,
Ray came back and helped him.
Yeah.
Or was that Dallas? Wait, did we go to WrestleMania this year?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, then yes, it was this year then. Anyways, doesn't matter.
yeah, that's how much attention we were paying to it.
Anyways, it's something that was totally off subject. I'm just letting it go. But yeah, so like no Lars Sullivan, and then like in NXT, but yeah, through like the NXT, yeah, there is no like resident big guy right now.
Oh. Because
they moved Killian Dane away, which he wasn't getting huge, but.
Yeah, so, oh, and Dijak does not, he had the 3 years in Ring of Honor. That was it. And I'm just going to throw it out there, though the WWE seems to have a stellar track record with getting fresh women into their program and getting them up to snuff. Them training men is, I'm going to say, suspect at best.
Okay, so real question on that. Of the women that are on the roster, who's a homegrown person? Alexa Bliss, I guess?
Because
everybody else that I can think of had had prior experience. Sonya Deville did.
Did Charlotte?
Mandy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I guess it would be Charlotte. She didn't. She hadn't gone anywhere else either. Yeah, good call. Wow. Becky Lynch was on the Indies. So was Bayley. So was Sasha.
Yeah. Well, I guess Ember was on the on the Indies. I guess you're right. That even the women. The women that come into the WWE have a lot of experience before they get there.
Yeah, it's fine.
For the most part.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel like at least they have a slightly better track record with the women.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing now. Now we want to talk about UK, but we can go to that too. Like, there are so many people that work for WWE in any capacity.
Oh, Gesundheit. Well, I'll tell you what, one person that does, you were talking about the NXT UK. I always screw up what his WWE name is. I can call him by his New Ohio, or not New Ohio Wrestling, Prime Wrestling name any day of the week. Vic Travaglianti.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Is he Vic Charles, or is it something else?
I'm looking it up real quick.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm always happy to hear him announcing matches because I still, to this day, do a terrible job of trying to watch 205 Live. So I do not hear him on there. But NXT UK, I've definitely... Well, I went on my way to watch the first couple episodes, and honestly, because I stay off of the social media for the most part from about Friday after work until Monday when I go into the office, I did not see too much about you know, that NXT TakeOver Blackpool, and I was glad that you mentioned to watch at least the main event. Because, well, A, Mustache Mountain against, I was about ready to call him James Storm, but, James Drake and,
Zach Gibson.
Yeah, Zach Gibson, was, an excellent match, in and of itself, but, that main event, with, Pete Dunne and, I was about ready to call him Dave Mastiff, but that was a whole different match.
Vic Joseph is his name.
Oh, Vic Joseph. Yeah, I do a terrible job remembering his... Oh, Vic Charles is his real name. Whoops. But, what was I going to say? Because he's the leader of Gallus, and because I don't watch UK, his name is escaping me. In the main event there.
Oh, Dunne. Joe Coffey.
Joe Coffey.
Okay. Sorry, we were all over the place there for a second, so yeah. I reeled back in. Yeah, no, Joe Coffey, who I didn't know was that good. Now, the match I thought was really good, and I fully expected Pete Dunne to lose because I figured he'd be going to NXT proper.
Oh,
the amount of money, like the amount of time he's been over there and how they use him.
Right,
he's been on the takeovers over for the States, you know. The match was pretty long; probably could have been shorter. Doesn't matter. But then, yeah, when they messed up that spot at the end twice, I was glad to see that they bailed on it. Because the first time they fell, I was like, holy shit, did they really fall? And then the second time they fell again, I'm going, yeah, their spot's not working. Okay. So, I really liked it. I mean, it had all the drama. Pete Dunne somehow is a good guy now. Like a full, he has been for a while, but a full-fledged face. How did that happen? Because that first UK tournament, he was such a bastard, and then continued to be one for the longest time. Like, good grief. But
yeah, I think it kind of switched over when he won the title. And he did become less of a bastard. He just became more of a badass and less of a bastard.
Yeah.
So
Pete Dunne's been great, and it's funny how much older he looks now. Same with not Trent Seven, Tyler Bate. He looks a lot older too in the 2 years. But no, I really like the whole show. The opening tag match, surprisingly, the way Zach Gibson just gets out there and talks shit all the time, I figured there was no chance they were going to give him a title. Just so that he could keep up the gimmick of being Liverpool's number one. Is it Liverpool or Blackpool?
Liverpool.
Okay, that's right. Liverpool's number one and not have a title, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I like him. He's kind of bland looking, but he can talk like crazy. But Dave Mathis? Oh, my God.
Mastiff.
Sorry, Dave Mastiff is great. I wanted to see him and Otis Dozovich go at it. Battle the blocks.
Yeah, are you as tall as you are wide? Then you're for this match.
I mean, they seem like they should be a tag team. No, I mean, no offense to Tucker Knight, but dude, like, these two match each other. But yeah, that was good. The Finn Balor surprise, that was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot. That definitely would have been my third match. Because Jordan Devlin is pretty awesome in his own right. But, yeah, Finn showing up was definitely something that was an unexpected. Because that was one where I'm like, okay, this is where staying off of social media pays off. Because
yeah, I had some of the matches ruined because I forgot. And I got on Instagram, and of course WWE always posts the winners of the matches. So I was like, "Oh shit!"
Oh.
But it didn't take away my enjoyment of it. Luckily,
well, that's good.
Well, I was like, you know, and I think I've mentioned this before, but you know when a good match, when a match is good to great, when you know the answer, or I'm sorry, you know the winner, and it doesn't matter. Like your excitement is still this still sky high, you know. And you still get wrapped up in the near falls, even though you know, and you, or unless you forget, who actually wins this match. So, yeah, so that's, I didn't mind that. But yeah, but the main event, man, I mean, hard hitting, and I love the finish. He hits the, oh, God damn it, what's his move called?
Bitter End.
All right, so it is a bitter end. All right. I didn't start trusting my first instinct today.
Well, no, he hasn't been using the X-Plex.
Yeah,
or
that's it.
He hasn't been using it as his finisher, I'd say. He's been using the bitter end more as his finisher.
Yeah. No, but I liked how he hit it again. It didn't get the pin. And he immediately ran over him and just started doing the, what they call it, joint manipulation, whatever stupid thing they have for it. And immediately tapped. I was like, that was great. His brother and Wolfgang didn't interfere. Mustache Mountain didn't need to come down. It was a straight-up match, which I think that was all of the matches on the card. Like, just no outside interference. No dumb crap. Just going straight at it and wrestling. And I know how that sounds, but, you know, it's okay for the bad guy to win. As long as the good guy looks good in the loss, that's fine. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, and that definitely goes to the opening tag match. The bad guys definitely won in that one.
How deflated was that crowd? I mean, they were amped, and all of a sudden that hit three, and they were like, what? And then, you know, trying to be all sophisticated with the title presentation, all that stuff. And I loved how they wouldn't let Sid Scala raise their hand. But they would let Johnny Saint.
yeah, I noticed that. That was pretty funny.
Work about this, but Toni Storm and Rhea Ripley need to figure out how to make the end of their matches dramatic. Because when it hit three, I was like, "That's it." Kind of like their first match where Rhea Ripley won the title. Like that was it. Like that was the finish.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't see the first match because I have skipped basically from episode 2 or 3 until this takeover. I guess it's really surprising just because Toni Storm's had such intriguing matches no matter when she was on the Mae Young Classic. And even, I know I've seen a couple of her matches not in the WWE, and I'm just... They always seem compelling, so it's kind of weird that somehow she managed to, at least definitely on this pay-per-view, from what I saw. I agree with you. Like, it just wasn't a compelling finish. Like, I really expected her to kick out.
Yes, and that's what I expected with the first match, too. I expected Toni Storm to kick out. Didn't happen. It was like, I don't know, it was like there was no... What that was called, like second gear, third gear, fourth gear, whatever.
Oh.
There was no, like, we're in second, and we're done. Like, eh? So, again, it's just weird. And yeah. I don't know like, who the agent would be for that match, but I got to put part of it on them. Because that's where their responsibility to go, no. We got to come up with something different. Unless it, you know, in planning, it sounded better than it was, but... It wasn't.
It wasn't good.
And I don't think it did them any justice either. Like, it didn't help either one of them. Because if you're going to lose, then lose big, you know? Like, it's grandiose at the end. And then that way you'd be like, well, it was a fluke because of this. But
yeah, and I mean, I guess that even kind of sells Ripley short what I was saying, too. Like, I think both Mae Young's, she's been good in them. I know that she had a shorter run the first year than Toni Storm did, but she's kind of had a good go of it, really, both years, all things considered. Yeah. So, I mean, she at least has some game tape, so to speak. And, it was a little surprising that that it didn't come out smoother than it did.
Yeah. And I was glad to see Jazzy Gabbert in the audience because I really liked her at the Mae Young Classic. She was the tall, I think she's German. Yeah, the big like Bridget Nielsen from Rocky IV looking woman. So
yeah,
I was glad to see her, and I can't remember who the other two women were. But
well, and I guess that in at least bears mentioning. Also, not terribly familiar. Heard the name. Definitely listened to the interview with Steve Austin. Walter came out after the main event.
Yes.
And, you know, I would have to think, like you said, like you kind of expected Joe Coffey to win it. I've really got to think that, Pete Dunne is probably moving on from UK to even bigger paychecks. I would think either on regular NXT or straight to the main roster at this juncture. Because really, what's the use of NXT UK if you can't just go straight to the main roster?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out the purpose of NXT UK, besides shutting down the UK wrestling scene. Like, is getting the top of NXT UK, is that what they're selling on? Like, is it? Or is it, all right, we're going to get up here, and then you're going to do this, blah, 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 you know. Like, okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the selling is. I guess, you know, I would think that Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate would kind of be on the top of the mountain to see what happens next. You know, I would think those are the two guys that get out of just being on the UK shows the quickest.
I don't know. Tyler Bate seems to have settled in, like, for his age especially. Was he 21?
Yeah, 22 yep. Maybe now.
Yeah, not like Pete Dunne's that much older, mind you, but
yeah, well, it seems like he's settled into
his space or his place as, you know, Trent Seven's partner, and this is how we're going to do it for right now. And because, I mean, honestly, he's cooled off since winning the UK title, you know, and losing it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's,
yeah, but he still is clearly the strong part of the tag team. They've made plenty clear in pretty much all of their matches.
Yeah, there's no Tyler Bate shirt that says Big Strong Boy, is there?
there should be if there isn't.
We'll see.
I will put it that way. Because honestly, like, when you get the crowd to chant anything like that, it should be on a shirt somehow, some way.
Yeah, there actually is. It's from the Tyler Bate BigCartel.com. So it's not even WWE approved.
Well, yeah, that's kind of funny. I've seen some of the lower ranking guys putting T-shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees. Or at least for their other ventures, because I was laughing that Zack Ryder and what's his name there, Curt Hawkins, had their shirt for their podcast on ProWrestlingTees.com.
That's actually where I'm at right now. I'm looking. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, I'm like, how did the WWE let this happen? Like, just sell them out of the shop. Like, for Christ's sakes. Like, are you crazy people? You employ these two guys. I mean, I don't know how many shirts they're selling, but it's got to be more than zero, I'm imagining.
I'm having a hard time finding it. God damn, there's a lot of people on this thing.
And actually, I was kind of interested in the one shirt that had Zack Ryder is Luke Skywalker. And Curt Hawkins is Yoda.
You know, going through this, one thing I forgot to mention was Juice Robinson was there, along with David Finlay, and then against the super best friends of Chuck Taylor and Trent Beretta. And they're starting like the slow program with Beretta and Juice Robinson. I'm all for that. I'm very surprised. I don't know the story behind it, but I'm very surprised. Beretta is not back in WWE. That guy is really good. And he's got the look. And I'll say this, Chuck Taylor, he's pretty cool. He was fun. Like, their tag team's weird.
Oh.
Because, like, Beretta's the angry one now, and Chuck T is just the, you know, laid back. And he kept asking Beretta, like, why he's so mad during the match. I mean, they're partners. And then Reddit would do something, and Taylor would be like, your moves are so cool. So you got so many cool moves. So just stuff like that, which was really cool. And then Juice Robinson, boy, what a turnaround. And which I know is like an understatement, but when he was, what was his name? PJ Wilson or something?
Yeah, that was
CJ Wilson?
Pre Kevin watching NXT.
Yeah. Well, he sucked. I fucking hated him. But you see it now. He's like the ultimate babyface right now. But he's a little cocky, I've noticed, now that he's the U.S. IWGP U.S. champion. So.
Oh. Well, yeah. No, kind of hard.
That was a really good match, actually.
Kind of hard to be an underdog when you're the champion.
But, no. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So, but yeah, but no, but the NXT, like, they're talking about making it 2 hours. I don't think that's a bad idea. Especially now that 205 Live is back on Tuesdays.
Oh.
Unless they're going to move NXT up on, you know, or replay it where 205 Live used to be. So it's in, like, that block, but I don't know. I don't know what the UK endgame is. Like, are those guys going to go to the main roster from the UK, or are they going to go to NXT from the UK? From, you know, NXT proper is what I guess I'll call it.
Yeah. Like I said, and I kind of agree with you. Dunn, to me, is number one with a bullet to see what happens.
Absolutely.
Tyler Bate is kind of the second. To me, he's still the second. Although, honestly, like, again, just because of size, I would think that someone like Joe Coffey, if he kind of keeps proving himself like this, would definitely show up on the WWE's radar.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, no, I didn't realize I would like the Coffey brothers as much, or at least Joe. I haven't seen Mark do a whole lot. I'm not exactly sold on Wolfgang, but whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Matters of taste, I guess.
It's kind of funny that he's the one that kind of got the exposure first, but is kind of the one taking the back seat now.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all right. Things come and go there. And again, they only have an hour to fill every week, although they've sent two. For whatever reason, they always play two episodes. So I was like, do they have that many in the can that they just needed to get rid of? So, but yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how things went so far.
That's weird. Well, I've got a question for you since we are plenty over the hour mark at this point.
Yeah.
Are we just going to wrap it up without talking about Raw and SmackDown for the most part?
Yeah, why not? I mean, so Finn Balor, as planned apparently, is now the Universal Champion number one contender. SmackDown, Shahid called it, and I think he's right. The whole Jimmy, or the whole John, or no, I'm sorry.
Jimmy Uso?
Is John Jay? No. Yeah. Anyways, that was just a whole Temptation Island thing. And I was like, I think you're onto something. And the way it ended, I went, yeah, that's exactly what that was. Braun Strowman's scared of Vince McMahon, which is dumb.
Oh.
Bobby Lashley won the Intercontinental title. Alexa Bliss did a weird topless scene. Which I didn't care, but I was like, that seems out of place. And then Otis Dozovich apparently has never seen a pretty woman in NXT before because he decided to go out there and stare at Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, well, that was honestly still, I guess since you brought it up, that to me is one of the weirdest segments that the WWE has had in quite some time. I don't know if it's downright offensive or not. Like, the Alexa Bliss topless thing, it just seems weird. Like, I guess I don't care. They didn't really show anything.
It was harmless.
It was harmless. But, of course, I don't understand if she was that close to going on why she wasn't clothed anyway. But the segment itself, the fact that she's like, oh, here are the women's championships. Paul Heyman. Huh?
Yes.
Huh? Oh. Like, that was, before even Otis wandered out onto stage, that segment was weird. And then when Otis wandered out onto stage, it went from weird to surreal. Because, as you, I think, were pointing out, there are plenty of pretty women in NXT.
Yep.
So, you know, there is no reason for Otis to be wandering out there just because of Alexa Bliss.
Yeah. And which I thought was a bad way to introduce him. Nikki Cross got a really good debut. Those guys didn't.
Well,
EC3, they're going with the goofy EC3 now. Great.
Yeah, I thought Nikki Cross got good on the match itself. I thought that it was weird that she was put in there with Bayley and Natalya.
Yeah, well, I mean, she was a face in NXT at the end, so... And the fact that they said that they're not on Raw, they're not on SmackDown, they're trying to decide still is fine with me.
Well, and that definitely changed the look of everything SmackDown tonight, with everyone again showing up on SmackDown so that it wasn't either or proposition. Because I was kind of with that. Is another thing that Chris mentioned is just like, oh, you're just going to introduce everyone without any backstory. And with them kind of popping up on both shows, I would hope that maybe they have something in store for them in the future here.
Yeah.
So I will not judge that part of things until later.
I was very happy with Nikki Cross's debut. So, but it just seems like she should be on SmackDown because that's where Sanity is. But they're bad guys, so I guess. They're not on that much, so who knows what they are. So, yeah, that's all for Raw and SmackDown. Who cares? I mean,
it's
so, what, 2 weeks before the Rumble. So,
well, DeFrango 11 at Stunt Granny at Granny Mays.
Yep.
Tonight's beer, a little bit better carbonated, just because I pumped up the PSI in my home keg. The latest home brew, the eggnog milk stout. A little bit better with more carbonation. Kind of like the flavors, but still a little bit short of where I was going. Not enough nutmeg. Maybe a little more milk needed. We shall find out. Have to change things up the next time around.
Yes, next year.
Yep. Sue, yeah, I guess I'll let you close things out if you want to here.
Well, cool. All right, guys. Hey, thanks for listening. Shane and I are recording. We watch stuff tomorrow. We got a bunch of goofy stuff to talk about. And, yeah, that's about it for that. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. We watch stuff. And we'll get at you next time. Peace.